It's an honor and a privilege to be with you here in worship and to proclaim to you God's word. The author and Christian apologist C.S. Lewis once wrote that there are only two kinds of people in the end: those who say to God, "Thy will be done," and those to whom God says in the end, "Thy will be done." And here we have the dichotomy the Bible continuously lays out for us. There are two kinds of people in the world. The Bible repeatedly separates people into two groups. And these two groups are going in completely different directions. There are sheep and there are goats. There is wheat and there are tares. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus contrasts these two groups against each other. He gives two paths of life that must be chosen. He tells us of two gates and two roads, two trees and their two types of fruit, two houses built on two different foundations. In describing the destination of these two paths of life, Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few." There are two paths in life with two completely different destinies. And there are only two. Today we will study Psalm 1 and see what it has to teach us about the two paths of life. Psalm 1 is an introduction to the whole Psalter. It sets the tone for everything we learn throughout the Psalms. So please take a look with me at Psalm 1. You can find it in the bulletin or in your Bible. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." The psalmist begins this psalm, and therefore begins the whole of the Psalter, with "Blessed is the man." The Hebrew word translated as "blessed" here is actually in the plural. It means much more than just happy. There's an abundance of happiness. Many times over. This is an overflow of blessings. This is far beyond the happiness that comes from positive circumstances. This is a deep-seated, supernatural joy. This is to be eternally blessed and content. To be blessed is to enjoy divine privilege and favor. To be blessed is to receive the blessings God bestows upon others. I want to discuss some other verses on being blessed so we can get a fuller sense of what it means. Psalm 32 tells us, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity." So to be blessed is to have your sins forgiven. Blessings do come from God in this world. But the ultimate blessing is the forgiveness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. The ultimate blessing is salvation. Psalm 34 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Those that take refuge or rely on the Lord are blessed. It is not that they have earned these blessings by taking refuge in the Lord. It is that taking refuge in the Lord or relying on the Lord is a blessing in and of itself. And these people taste and see that the Lord is good. To know the Lord, have a relationship with Him, to know that He is good is a blessing. This is painting a picture of a person that is on the path of the righteous. Psalm 65 gives us another important piece of understanding of the blessed. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. And this is a very important truth about being blessed. There are two paths you can go down in life. Only two. The path of the righteous and the path of the wicked. The righteous here are not those seen as righteous in the eyes of the world. This is not a righteousness off paying your taxes or being a law-abiding citizen or a friendly neighbor or not being drinking and just abusive. This is a biblical standard of righteousness. The righteous are God's chosen people. It is those who have been changed by God, and as a result, they live a God-fearing life. They are not innately righteous. They are not on the path of the righteous because of anything in themselves. They haven't earned their way onto this path by attending church, tithing, or even godly behavior, caring for the poor or the sick. They are righteous because God has chosen them. God has shown them grace, mercy, and love. He has given them a new birth and a new heart. And as a result, they love Him and try to keep His commands. They will live a life of honesty, generosity, mercy, and justice. Just the same, the wicked are not those seen as wicked by a worldly standard. It is not just those that have committed murder or rape or armed robbery or dealing drugs. The wicked are anyone who hasn't been converted in Christ. We are born in sin. We are wicked from birth. We are sinful, prideful, and in rebellion against God. And anyone who hasn't been reconciled to God by faith in Jesus Christ is wicked. They are on the path of the wicked. And it is important to remember that we only follow the path of the righteous because God chose us first. The blessed person is chosen by God and brought near by God to be in His presence. And this is the reason someone is blessed. No one is righteous on their own. We are declared righteous in the sight of God because He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And we continue down the path of the righteous through the sanctifying grace of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we consider what it means to be blessed, we think of the whole counsel of God. One preacher and missionary define what it means to be blessed using the whole context of Scripture. And it's worth quoting here. He said, "The blessed are those who have entered into a covenant relationship with God, a true permanent covenant relationship with God by faith in Jesus. They are being instructed in His word and walk in submission to it. Consequently, their lives are marked by peace, hope, joy, and fruitfulness." This is a picture of what it means to be blessed. This is what it means to be on the path of the righteous, what it means to be sheep on the narrow path. We are told, "Blessed is the man." Then we are given a description of the man who is blessed. The blessed are first described by three things that they avoid. These three things are listed in such a way to show the progression of the sinful life. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So first, the blessed person is one who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. The righteous do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. They do not pursue their advice from the wicked. They do not go after their way of living. The righteous do not aim for the goals of the wicked. They do not live according to the principles of the world. They do not follow the practice of those who are not believers. The righteous, blessed person is not enticed by their sinful lifestyle of those around them. Those who have received the blessings of God, those who have been chosen and changed by God, will be abundantly happy in staying away from the ways of the wicked. The wicked are those who do not seek God. They are in rebellion against God. They do not fear the Lord. The blessed person is not influenced by the wicked. That does not mean we retreat and hide so that we never come into contact with anyone who is not a believer. It's just that the saved person is not influenced by the unsaved. Those who are in Christ are not influenced by those who are of the world. We just don't seek their way of life and let it influence. We are called to influence them. We influence the wicked for Christ. We don't allow them to influence us to sin. That brings us to the second thing we are told the righteous avoid. Blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners. We see the downward spiral of the sinful life. First, someone may listen to the advice of the wicked. They may be interested in their way of life. Next, they will be standing in the way of sinners. They will start down their path of sin. First, your heart desires the ways of the world, and if you let it be enticed by sinful desire, next you will be on the path of sin. But the righteous avoid their counsel, and they avoid sinning with them. They avoid their lifestyle. Blessed is the man who avoids the path of sin. The righteous are on a different path altogether. And the third thing the righteous avoid is the conclusion of this downward spiral. Blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Now the progression has gone to full-blown acceptance. It has gone from worldly beliefs to worldly actions to a worldly lifestyle. This is to be fully on the path of sinners. This is to have joined the scoffers. This is to ridicule and mock the righteous. This is to hate God and his ways. This is not just listening to the wicked or desiring to sin. This is not just a beginner on the path. This is to be a part of their community. This is now to give sinful advice and mislead others. The righteous avoid desiring evil. They avoid committing sin. And they reject acceptance into the community of the wicked. The world can offer us wealth. The world can offer us power, fame, success. But these are not the blessings God has in mind for his people. These things are temporal. They are only lasting for a moment. They wither like the grass and fade away like the flower. But the blessings God has for his chosen covenant people are eternal. Along with the things the righteous avoid, the psalmist then gives us what the righteous do. In verse 2 he writes, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." The word "but" here tells us he is giving us a contrast to what he just wrote. So the blessed do not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. However, they do delight in the law of the Lord. To understand this, first we must consider what does he mean by law of the Lord. The law of the Lord literally means the commands of God, the regulations and instructions of God. But when we look at how the term law is used throughout Scripture, it refers to the whole of Scripture. It refers to the Word of God. So the blessed, the righteous, they delight in the Word of God. They take joy in the Word of God. Those who have given themselves to Christ, those who have had a life-changing conversion by faith in Jesus Christ, they take pleasure in the Word of God. They love God in Christ. They are pleased to submit themselves to his Word and choose the things that please him. While those on the path of the wicked, they reject the commands and the instructions of God. They oppose God's Word. They are burdened by it. But those on the path of the righteous will find pleasure in God's word. The people of God see that the Word of God is good. The blessed also meditate on His law day and night. The righteous will study the Word of God. They will seek God's wisdom in His Word. They pursue conformity to Christ by studying the Word of God. This is something you must do yourself. No one can study the Word of God for you. You can be discipled by someone else. You can have someone helping you, guiding you, instructing you, and teaching you the Word of God. But the desire to learn it, to embrace it, to submit to it, must be yours and come from you. This is why during the Protestant Reformation, the Reformers were so adamant about the Scriptures being translated into the common language. Hearing sermons preached is an important piece, but you must study the Word of God, individual Bible study, group Bible study, and biblical preaching. Bible study itself is not the goal. Bible study is a means. Becoming more like Christ is the goal. And day and night here means day and night. It's talking about a dependence on the Word of God. There's a continuity to your studying of Scripture. You consistently set aside time to study the Bible and be changed by it. You are not just informed by the Bible, but you are transformed by the Bible. You don't just hear it. You don't just read it, but it moves you. It convicts you. It changes you. You live in submission to the Word of God. The Word of God is not a burden to you. The Word of God is a blessing to those on the path of the righteous. So far, we have read a description of the righteous, blessed person by what they avoid and what they do. So I want to pause here to ask you, does the description of the blessed person we read here describe you? Are you influenced by the wicked, by worldly desires, by passions, possessions? Do non-believer friends, family members, co-workers influence you by their ways? Or do you avoid all of this? Do you delight in the Word of God? Are you being instructed and changed by the Word of God? Are you consistently studying the Bible? Which path are you on? Verse 3, the psalmist gives us a metaphor for the life of the blessed. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The righteous avoid the beliefs of the wicked. They avoid the actions of sinners. They avoid the lifestyle of scoffers. The righteous take pleasure in the Word of God. They find joy in the commandments and instructions of the Lord, and they study their Bible daily. And because of all of this, they're like a tree planted by streams of water. Now, a tree is an extremely sturdy plant. A tree is solid. A tree is secure. And this tree has been planted by streams of water. This is an analogy for the path of the righteous. And no one puts themselves on that path, just as no tree plants itself by streams of water. Streams of water here is in the plural. This is multiple streams of water. This tree has everything it needs to thrive. This tree is flourishing, just as the righteous flourish in the Spirit of God. The river is often used as a picture of God's provision in the Bible, or a picture of God's spiritual blessing, a picture of God's care for His people. And we see that this river is providing for this tree that yields fruit in its season tells us that the righteous person will bear fruit. Now, bearing fruit in the Christian life is often used in the Bible. Bearing fruit means that you will show love, compassion, and mercy to others. Bearing fruit is the evidence that you are in Christ. Jesus said in John 15, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." We are chosen to abide in Christ, to be in relationship with Christ, so that we should go and bear fruit. Bearing fruit is the evidence of a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. It is the evidence that you're on the path of the righteous. Bearing fruit means becoming more like Christ. It will be seen in the process of sanctification, in the changes that come in your life. Bearing fruit means loving people and desiring that they be saved in Christ. Now, the fruit of a tree is not a blessing to the tree itself. The tree can eat its own fruit. The fruit born of a healthy spiritual life will be a blessing to those around you. And just as the fruit of a tree comes from the flowing river, the fruit of the Spirit in the Christian life comes from the life of God flowing through us. The tree planted by streams of water, its leaf does not wither. Now, in a dry, barren region, a tree away from water will die. And just so, the wicked will wither. They will fade away. They do not have God. They do not have the Spirit. They do not have life. The righteous will continue on in the Lord, studying His Word, growing in Christ. Even during days of difficulty, the soul of the righteous is resolute. And the righteous, in all that he does, will prosper. Like the well-watered tree, the blessed person will be marked by fruitfulness. There may be success here in this world, but that could be for the wicked as well. The wicked can have abundance. They can have wealth and power, and they often do. But without the nourishment of the Spirit, they will soon wither and fade away. But the righteous will live a life full of peace, joy, mercy, and love. And there is nothing more prosperous. In verse 4, there's a strong contrast between the righteous and the wicked. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. While the righteous are like a tree rooted by water, nourished and flourishing, the wicked are not so. The wicked are rooted in evil. They are still in their sins. They delight in their sins. They delight in themselves. The wicked follow the teachings of the world, which are in direct opposition to the Word of God. The wicked are like chaff that the wind drives away. During the time of harvest, when grain is winnowed, chaff is separated from the heavier grain by being thrown into the wind. The wind blows the lightweight, worthless chaff away, while the heavier, valuable grain falls to the ground. John the Baptist used this same analogy for the two paths of life. He was describing Jesus, and he said, "His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn." That is, he will gather his chosen people. "But the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire." The chaff has no value. It is thrown into the fire. And so it is with the wicked. Those who have not had their sins forgiven, those who do not have Jesus Christ and his righteousness, their sins will be counted against them. God will see them and all of their countless sins in judgment. The wicked are like chaff. They are worthless in the kingdom of God. They may be rich and valued by the world, but they are spiritually dead. The contrast is stark. The righteous are a firmly planted tree, rooted by streams of water, able to withstand extreme weather, and are producing fruit. The wicked are dead, rootless, blown about. Verses 4 and 5 show us that these two paths lead to two opposing destinies. "Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." The word "therefore" signifies this is the conclusion. The wicked are not like the righteous. They do not avoid the ways of the world. They do not avoid sin. They live a life in contrast to the commands of God. They rebel against God and reject His word. They are like chaff, worthless, blown into the wind. Consequently, they will not stand in judgment. This does not mean they will not be at the judgment. Everyone will stand before God in judgment. But the wicked are on their own. The wicked will be found guilty in their sin. They will be there in judgment, but they will not stand upright. Nor will they stand in the congregation of the righteous. The congregation of the righteous will be those that at the final judgment are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And those are your two options. Clothed in the righteousness of Christ, or standing before God with the stains of all your sins. The ways of the wicked are the ways of the world. It is the way of sin, the way of the ungodly. Proverbs 14 tells us, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. This is the path of the wicked. But the path of the righteous is the way of Jesus Christ. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. This is not stating that God has a knowledge of the way of the righteous. God has a knowledge of everything. God knows everything that is, was, and is to be. Rather, this is God intimately involved with the righteous. God sustains the righteous, provides for the righteous. He loves the righteous. The way of the righteous is the way of the Lord. But the way of the wicked will perish. Here we are given the ultimate fate of those on the path of the wicked. This is the end of the road. The wicked will perish. We see this theme all throughout the Psalter and really the whole of Scripture. As we watch those around us, those we know, neighbors and friends and co-workers or people on television or movies and social media, and we know those who do not have a covenant relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, it can often feel like they have it all. But they don't. If they don't have Jesus Christ, they have nothing. They are like chaff, weightless, empty, to be burned in the fire. The wicked will perish and vanish. They will be driven away and brought down. Everything they have in this life soon will be no more. They will soon fall in judgment before God. So I'll ask again, which path are you on? Have you given yourself over to Jesus Christ? Are you in a relationship with Him? Are you continually pursuing Him in conformity to Him? We all begin on the path of the wicked, but God, in His love for us, gave us His only Son so that we can be blessed. Jesus lived a sinful, sinless life so that we could be seen as righteous before God. And He died so that our sins could be forgiven. It is only by the mercy, grace, and love of God that any of us could be considered righteous at the final judgment. By faith in Jesus Christ, we can be on the path of the righteous, and only by faith in Jesus. If this describes you, then I pray this message reinforces you. That you continue to avoid the wicked influences in your life. That you stay strengthened in Jesus Christ. And avoid sinful desires, actions, and lifestyles. We are bombarded in this world by sin. But God has called us to the path of the righteous. And He bestows His blessings upon us. And He gives us His Spirit to guide us. He gives us His Word to lead us. Read, study, saturate yourself in the Word of God. None of us here today read the Bible too much. We schedule time, discipline ourselves, but we don't just read it. Examine your heart with it. Let it transform you into the image of Christ. That is the goal. That is the path of the righteous. We are called not to be influenced by the wicked. We are called to influence them to Christ. And we do that by becoming more like Christ, by telling them about Jesus Christ. So think of all the people you know, friends, family, co-workers, that are on the path of the wicked. And it doesn't matter how nice they are, or how much you like them. If they do not have Jesus Christ, then yes, they are on the path of the wicked. They are in rebellion against God, and they will perish without Jesus Christ. It is imperative that you lead them to Christ, that you lead them to the path of the righteous. Pray for them, plead with them, beg them, compel them to come to Christ. Now, there may even be someone here today that has not yet come to know Christ as Lord over your life and as Savior. You may know about Him. You may even like things about Him. But if you haven't given yourself to Him, if you do not have an intimate relationship with Him, then you are not in a covenant relationship with God. You are still giving in to sins and influences of the world. You may not delight in the commandments of God and the Word of God. That is to be on the path of the wicked. If this is you, you can change that today. This is life or death. It couldn't be more urgent. All the blessings of God are found in Jesus Christ. The path of the righteous is the path of those who have Jesus, those who are being changed by the Spirit, those who love God and love His Word. And these things are only found by surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Jesus came to save the wicked. He came to bring them to the path of the righteous. You are being called to the narrow path, to enter through the narrow gate. The path of the righteous is the path to eternal life. It is to live your life for Christ and to be blessed through Him. If you have not done this, today is the day. If you are thinking that maybe you are good enough to stand before the judgment of God on your own merit, you need to abandon that thought today. You need to rely solely on the righteousness of Jesus Christ in judgment. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Believe in Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved.